Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
Yeah, man. Wagon. God bless everyone here. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Station. We're based in wonderful Jamaica, in the wonderful hills of Mandeville, Jamaica. Mr. and Mrs. Montgomery, the Kingdom of God minister has been with me for many years. I approve everything they say, and if you don't like them, then you can leave, because I'm never going to leave them, and they ain't going to leave me. So, they're good people, real serious Christians. A husband and wife couple, if anybody needs to know anything about marriage, don't come to me. Come to the Montgomerys, because I can't help you. But the Montgomerys can. They've been married 40 years. They got a lot to say about a lot of things. We got them for the next hour. Without further ado, Bishop Montgomery and Evangelist Montgomery, I turn it over to the Bishop.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be on the Fellowship of the Deliverance program on Blog Talk Radio with Apostle Overton, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. So right now we're going to start right off with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask, Lord, that you touch everyone that's listening to the Blog Talk program on tonight. Open up their minds, their hearts, their ears. Father God, impart into them your word that they may be set free, that they may be delivered and made whole right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, tonight we will be coming with this, it's called A House Divided.
Amen.
You know, and that's what the Lord put on our hearts to talk about. It's going to cover quite a bit of stuff, even some things in marriage too. How a house, your marriage house, naturally can be divided. And when you have a naturally divided house, you're not going to get a lot done because you're going to be warring against each other. You got your own little battle going on in your own house.
Yes.
And so you're not going to be able to, especially, let me say this, in the ministry.
Yes.
Okay? Yes, we've been together 48 years. He's been a minister for the last 45 years. And when we got married, he was an ordained minister of the gospel. But I knew then as a wife, although it don't take away from who I am, we support each other.
Amen.
So you may say, well, Susan Montgomery, yeah, I can flow just like he can flow.
Amen.
When you see him, you see me. Okay?
Amen.
If he go forth, if he leave, he go on teaching or whatever, he's a representation of our family, as with me. So we try to keep our relationship unified in Christ because we don't want any hindrances when we go before God's people. We don't want nobody saying, well, y'all teaching one thing, but you're living a lie. And we see that a lot in the church. You know, that's a divided household.
Yeah.
That's why we have to make a conscious decision in prayer that, Lord, you keep us unified.
Amen.
Even raising our kids like it went back. Even kids to try to pit one parent against the other. You can't do that.
No.
You can't do that in the body of Christ. So tonight we're going to be talking about a house divided. We're going marital. We're going spiritual. We going, even might go a little political. So, hey, buckle your seatbelt, because we bringing it on. All right, Bishop, go ahead.
Amen. We're going to go directly to the scripture. And what I like to do many times, I don't like to give people my opinions of anything, because my opinions really doesn't mean that much. So I like to go by the word of God. I like to go by factual things, because if you want to argue, then you can argue with the facts. The word of God, if you have a problem with the word of God, then you need to take that up with the Lord. because they are his words. So that's what we're going to do, a house divided. That's what we're talking about tonight. Now, when you talk about a house, a lot of people think about physical buildings and things like that, but you have to also remember that your body is also a house or a temple that God dwells in. And you can be even divided in yourself. The scripture tells us that the Lord wants us to be every bit whole. That's body, soul, and spirit. It says, if any two or three shall agree on anything on earth, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. But a lot of times, we're not even in agreement within our own self. Our body, our soul, our spirit is altogether different. Sometimes, a lot of people, if you're not saved, if you're not in Christ, if you're not in God, that spirit part of you is not even alive. It's dead. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's like a battery. Most batteries that's dead won't start your car, but they still have some fire in them. But they don't have enough fire in them to do what they were designed to do. That's how so many people are without Christ. They have, thank you, Holy Ghost, they have just a little fire in them, but not enough fire in them to do what God would have them to do. So in their physical being, they're divided. Mm-hmm. They're not united. So that's why they can't go the way they should go in the things of God, because there is an element in them that is dead. Their body may be living, their soul might be living, but that spirit part of them is dead because it has no connection to the true and living God. And what brings us that connection to the true and living God for you to be truly whole and united in yourself is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, given by Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to get into the Word. We have some words here from Matthew 12, 20 through 28.
Okay.
Yeah, Evangelist Montgomery will bring that out.
Okay, Matthew 12, 20 to 28, and we're coming out the King James Version. Now, we do exclusively go with the King James Bible, and we do might reference some other commentary books as well. But tonight we're coming out the King James Version. Matthew 12, 22, 28 reads, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed them, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and the city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself." Now, you see, there is even hierarchy in the demonic realm, okay? So he said, "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?
Mm-hmm.
And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God," that's where we got our Kingdom of God ministries, "is come unto you." Praise God for the reading of the word. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank the Lord for that. And I want to bring out something in reference to that. Now, Jesus says something somewhat profound, and that he was given some of the tactics of the enemy. But he was saying that in reference to them, and that's what's happening in the world. And what a lot of people don't understand is the same thing that Jesus said in reference to him healing this individual and telling them that the kingdom of Satan is united. If it was not united, Lord, he said it would come to desolation. Now, when you think about this, this is the same tactic that the enemy is using on the church of God. You say, well, why I say that? Well, look, When the church first started, there were no denominations. There were no denominations. Well, what do you mean, Bishop? In other words, there was no Baptist, there was no Catholics, there were no Methodists, there were no Lutherans, there were no Pentecostals. There was none of that. All of the believers in that time, when the Church of God, when the Church of Christ first started, when his body first started, they all had one goal. That was Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's what they preached. And when people try to make various denominations and make various belief sets based on Paul, based on Apollos, based on Peter, the apostles immediately broke that up. They destroyed it right from the get-go. In the beginning, when they started to make this division with the Greeks, okay, the apostles immediately came in and shut it off. They shut off all the division.
Amen.
The kingdom of God was totally united. So why am I saying that? Because this stuff that we're experiencing right now were the inventions of men, but it was also a seed of Satan to divide the body of Christ. Now, to make someone ineffective. Now, we can't hardly come together for nothing because of denomination, because of race, because of creed. And that is not the design of the Lord. That's why we say a house divided. And then there's another book that's put out that says divided by faith. That book is talking about the various religions, the various doctrines, and how all this racism has mixed into that to make the Church of Christ, the true Church of Christ, somewhat diminished.
But, you know, Martin Luther King has said the most racist place you want to visit is Sunday at churches. You got your white church, you got the black church, you got the Hispanic church, you got the Asian church, and I know demographically and sometimes
and
people
language.
Speak language barriers, but these are some of the tactics, as Bishop said, that have crept into the body of Christ. And like I said, I took it from the natural home first, married couple. I grew up in a home. My mom was strong for the Lord. She ran hard for God. But my dad would be at home on Sunday. And she was the prayer warrior of the family. She was the one you would see at the churches teaching and going forth in the Lord. He'd be at home looking at the Lone Ranger. You see what I'm saying? So this is what I'm saying. And by my personal life, the house being divided, I could see some of my brothers and sisters went after him. And to this day, a lot of them well in their 60s and 70s, but they don't have a relationship with God. And then we have the other half running hard for God. But you see how a divided household can bring a lot of detriment to the family. And look at David. David's house in the Bible, his house was split. His house was divided.
Yeah.
Absalom rose up to kill his own father.
Yeah.
That was a divided, dysfunctional home.
Yes.
And this is why I say we have to be very careful because the devil is very cunning, and he'll use any little thing he can to bring division within that family. So I wanted to bring it naturally first. Now we're going to flip it to the spiritual. And like Bishop was saying, in the church, division. Look, we got to be mature in Christ Jesus. A lot of things, yes, we know a lot of things. And I read a commentary, and they said the most three things that divide the church is what you said, religion, ethnic, and guess what? Political parties. Now, are you serious? Race, you divide yourself over a political party when there are really two heads on the same coin.
That's right.
If you know your research, read about the Democratic Party and read about the Republican Party.
Yeah.
They have one agenda to unify and bring about this one world government.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I don't want you saying, well, Sister Montgomery is a conspiracy theorist,
but you
better read your literature and find out what's behind all this that we see
today.
Mm-hmm. It's to bring, they're unified, like you said. Satan is unified in what he going to do. He already got his agenda. We got what we call the Georgia Guidestones here in Georgia, where somebody anonymous made these big old stones. And on the stones, one thing they said is to unify the world. And this is kind of like their creed. Their agenda is to unify the world, bring global peace, and to annihilate mankind to 500 million. Do you know that would kill off billions of people and by any means necessary? But this is their global agenda.
That's right.
So they already got it in place. And it's not just Democrats. It's not just Republicans. It's both parties.
That's right.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Now, the reason we're bringing this up is because one thing is because of the times that we're in. People of the Most High God, we are in the last days. Now, you can think whatever you want to think about it, but we're in the last days. If you don't believe it, read the Bible. And then after you read the Bible, raise your head up and look around. Just look around. There are things happening right now that have never happened in the history of the world.
Well, look at COVID. Shut the whole world down.
Look at this COVID. You never heard of COVID. And
well,
then
we never heard the world being shut down.
Yeah, you never heard of COVID, and you've never heard of the world being shut down because of a virus. That didn't happen in the Spanish flu, when the Spanish flu was here. It didn't happen with Ebola. It didn't happen with SARS. It didn't happen with any other virus or disease. It didn't happen in the Black Plague. No disease brought the stoppage of the world in any way but this. And they don't even know what this is. They just tell us it's COVID, but they don't really even know what it is. But we're not going to get into that. But what we're saying is, if anybody needs to be united, it's the people that has the real power to make real change on the earth. And who is that? It's the church. It's the people of the Most High God. But are we together?
Mm-mm.
I ask you, are we? Now, some of us are together in some of our little churches, some of our little denominations, but as a whole of the earth, we're not. We're still fighting one another. And those of us that's not fighting one another, then the world is fighting us.
Yeah.
And the enemy is fighting us. So what are we doing?
Yeah.
We need to come together in Christ. How the Lord started the church up is how we're going to have to end.
Yeah.
Because as long as it's like it is, the enemy is going to continue to slap our heads, beat us down, and torment us.
And let me read this. And I was doing some study on psychosis, too. This well-known psychiatrist, he studied the psychosis of the mind for 35 years, and he was actually kicked out of the state institutions because he told them, he said, yeah, you guys are treating one part of psychosis, but he said there is actually demonic entities. When he would evaluate these people, he said there would be something literally talking back through him. So he presented it to the directors, and they told him if he kept teaching like that, they was going to kick him out. So long story short, he retired, but he told you that there is a part of that person you can't medicate.
That's right.
And he said all the psych wards or whatever they would do is just medicate these people and have them walk around in a lethargic mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of how the body of Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
We're lethargic. We don't really see the spiritual realm of things. We only fight each other and divisions among each other And, you know, and Paul said, why is there wranglings and dissensions among you? It shouldn't even be mentioned in the house of God. Look, I'm trying to make it in. Now, I got my views. I'm not no robot where somebody is going to break. And a lot of that stuff you see on TV news, you be careful because a lot of it is propaganda. And you better be wise and do some research and start studying for yourself. Don't just take what people tell you. But let me read this out of James 1 and 8. He say, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world.
Mm-hmm.
They are unstable in everything they do. Okay, so John says, this is, I'm coming out of James 1 and 8, okay? And I'm going to read it as such. Let me get to my, because like I told you, we have reference Bibles. So I'm going to read it out of the King James Version, okay? And it says, okay, my brother, James, a servant of God, you know that. But he said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, that the trying of your faith work with patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? He says, let me read on. I just saw my... Okay. He says, if anyone lack wisdom, and this is what I'm saying, you better learn how to study. Stop taking everybody's word. Look, I'm like the Bereans. You say something, I'm not going to agree with you. And I used to always, my mom would tell me, say, you can't make her say something. I mean, if I ain't agreeing with what you're saying, I'm going to question you, okay? Because I have that right. He said, let him ask of God that he giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not this man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And one thing that we want to bring out in reference to that, when it says double-minded and stable in all his ways, that goes back to the condition of the mind. It goes back to the vacillation. And when he was talking about this, what James was actually talking about was a person that was going back and forth in the things of God. He wasn't united in himself, in his spirit. He kept vacillating, going back and forth. And when you're like that, you really can't get anything from God. But imagine if the church is like that. What are they going to accomplish in Christ when they can't come together? And if they can't come together because of what a person looks like, how are we going to fight the devil if we can't get past each other? How are we going to do that? And the enemy is like, what the Bible says, he's like a roaring lion seeking whomever he can devour. He don't care. He don't care. But if he can put the division among us, then half the battle is won already. Because when he's coming, we're looking at each other. And why is that? It's like that because the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, has not fully filled us. See, the thing about the Spirit of God, the thing about the Holy Ghost, is that there are many fillings. There are many fillings. You don't just get full of the Holy Ghost one time and that's it. You don't just get in the Word one time, read one scripture and that's it. You don't just learn one little thing about the things of the Spirit and that's it. It's continual, just like how you feed your body. And what we're saying basic things, but a lot of people don't do basic things. You got to feed this physical body every day to live. You have to feed your spiritual body every day to live and to defeat the enemy. And the way the enemy is taking people out now, he's taking people's minds, he's taking people's bodies, he's killing people. Every day you look at the news, somebody is dying, and they're dying by the thousands now. People of the Most High God, they're dying by the thousands. You say, well, we can't do nothing about that, but Who's next? Are you in the, if your number is called up, are you ready to be with the Lord? That we got to consider these things. It's a daily thing.
Wow.
This fight is daily.
Yeah.
This warfare is daily.
Put on a whole armor.
Every day we're fighting against foul, wicked, evil, demonic spirits that want to take your mind. That's why we got to be together. That's why we got to be united. I want to bring something to your attention. And I found this out a little while ago, but think about this a moment. It said, let it be your care, therefore, to come more fully together to the praise and glory of God. For when we meet fully together in the same place, the powers of the devil are destroyed, and his mischief is dissolved by the unity of your faith or our faith. And indeed, nothing is better than peace by which all war, both spiritual and earthly, is abolished, just by us coming together in Christ Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Just by us coming together in Christ Jesus, the devils are destroyed and his mischief is dissolved by the unity of our faith. Now you see why the enemy wants to keep us divided? Now do you see why the enemy wants to keep us divided by any means necessary? He doesn't care.
If you're divided,
he doesn't care because he knows that you don't have any strength
on your own. You might have some, but it's not to the full degree as you would as a unified body.
It's not so much as the full strength of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost because you're divided.
So let me say this about this double-minded believer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go this way because I see so many Christians living so raggedy in the body of Christ. And it's not saying we're perfect. None of us are. We all have our flaws, and we all, like Bishop say, every day I have to pray, Lord, sanctify me, cleanse my mind, my heart, my thoughts, you know? Somebody may do something that I don't like. In the flesh, I usually want to react. But he said, let us walk in the Spirit. And that don't mean you in a seventh heaven somewhere. That means just be heavenly conscious of the enemy and his tactics. Don't react so quick. That's why you got people. These drive-bys in Atlanta, they just run around. You cut them off on the highway, they killing folks. Because you're angry. What you angry about? You've been shut up a whole year, and you getting out here from COVID, and you run around shooting each other. It's foolishness. But anyway, let me go on with this double-mindedness. I know sometimes I get on a rant, but, it just infuriates me the way the body of Christ is living because we got such weak doctrine in the churches, weak pastors teaching weak doctrine, producing double-minded believers. Okay. A double-minded believer is someone who is constantly living in a state of compromise. Sound like politicians. They'll tell you they all want to get saved or say they're a Christian when it's time for you to vote for them. But Christians just take hook, line, and sink. They ain't going to check that lifestyle out. They ain't going to check the fruit out. Oh, he said you're a Christian. Look, they'll tell you anything to get your vote. I read a commentary where Lincoln was an atheist. But to win that election, he started saying Bible scriptures. You see what I'm saying? So America is religious, but they're not righteous. Can I say that? Yeah, very religious. In God we trust. Yeah. But God is so far from them. Their heart, he said, you confess me with your mouth, but your heart is far from. Amen? So a double-minded believer is someone who is constantly living in a state of compromise. Half of you live for God half of your life live for God, while the other half live for your bad habits.
Mm.
Hence, you're double-minded. As you consider whether or not that experience describes your current situation, here are seven characteristics of a double-minded believer. Okay, number one. And like I said, this is not to point fingers at nobody. I take the Bible, Holy Scriptures, and point them to myself first. And if that Holy Spirit shine that light on me and say, look, you need to come up in this area. You better believe me. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. A double-minded Christian is always being torn in two directions. He has a relationship with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, but he also has a relationship with a particular sinful obsession.
Mm.
So he'll go to church. Well, you just heard where this big-time preacher wrote hundreds and hundreds of books, found out he had all kinds of pictures, nude pictures, where he was taken of young girls having sex with them. You see? But to the public, oh, he looked righteous. But he has some darkness that he never took care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let me go on. He said a double-minded Christian is always being torn in two directions. He has a relationship with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, but he also has a relationship with a particular sinful obsession. It is a mental obsession and distraction, and it may even have a physical aspect. But it's a miserable way to attempt to live your life as a Christian.
Amen.
Hypocrite. You go to church on Sunday, sing in the choir, but you got these little dark things, or you're slipping around at night, you're doing things that you know God wouldn't be pleased with. Last week we talked about, how your flesh, you got to put it in subjection. The carnal mind. Okay? No Christian can become double-minded overnight. It takes some time to develop an unrelenting desire to pursue a particular course. So this is something you just practice every day. You want to be double-minded. You ain't trying to rise up spiritually and seek the Lord. A lot of times you enjoy it because the flesh enjoy it. And so you feed that flesh rather than feeding your spirit. But make no mistake about it, history has a way of repeating itself. Until we part ways with that thing which is stabbing at Jesus all the time, we continually find ourselves in a state of inner turmoil. You know, and even when you become a Christian and you do something that you know is not right, I tell you what, that Holy Ghost will convict you. And you fall on your face. I'm talking about when you have a real relationship with God. And you'll fall on your face and say, Lord, I am sorry. I repent. Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I acted out of anger. Forgive me, Lord. Amen? Even if you have walked with the Lord for years, a double-minded life will circumvent much of the good which the Holy Spirit wants to work in you and through you. What every believer desperately needs is a fully surrender their heart and their mind to the Lord. Number three, you find yourself compromising your thought life in one primary area. Satan has been at this craft for many centuries. Y'all know he has. And just as we know triggers to employ with Adam and Eve, he has discovered a variety of enticements.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? A variety of enticements, because he studied you. And he know what to entice you with.
Mm-hmm.
Variety of enticements that are intended to lead believers to become double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Is unstable in all his ways. That didn't sound too, you know. The devil knows from past experiences that when a Christian is fully surrendered, God works even more miracles in the lives of his people. That's what we just said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you divided, a house divided, you ain't going to be able to get to the height of what God God want to do in your life because you double-minded.
That's right.
Amen? Jesus has never compromised even one time. The same cannot be said about us. Our challenge as sinful human beings is to say no to sin and yes to righteousness living. And I know sometimes it may be a struggle, but we have support groups in the church that can hold you accountable. Those that are struggling with pornography, and I know it's not even talked about a lot in the church, but you need a support group, a group of men that can pray you through that. Because it's an oppression, it's a demonic spirit that attaches itself. And sometimes it attaches at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has never compromised, okay? And this is why I say, and it's not like this challenge only confronts us once or twice a week. The temptations for compromise are ongoing all the time. You are led, number four, you are led by the Holy Spirit, except when that other issue is driving your thinking. The Spirit-led Christian is not giving into compromise. Instead, he or she is focused, filled, and flowing in the living water of the Holy Spirit. It is a wonderful way to go through life. It provides peace, power, and purpose. Sin, on the other hand, increases the desire to give into temptation again and again. You never get enough. You just keep on vacillating back and forth. That's why I say you're like a ship on a sea. You're back and forth, a wave, just tossed to and fro. One minute you want to go strong for God, you're wavering. Next minute, I got to go to the club. Okay? Come on now. I'm just being real. And so you end up double-minded, at least until you repent and come clean before the Lord and the cross. Number five, you only experience real peace in your heart when your mind is under God's control. There is no peace for the believer who is going against the consciousness of against God's word. You feel out of control. You feel pulled in the direction of your obsession rather than gently led down the flowing river of God's grace and peace. Most of us have known the Lord for a while, have come to experience the vast difference between the peace of God and the turmoil of our sinful desires. Okay? The truly are in conflict with each other. They war against each other. The flesh war against you daily. The devil studies you. He told Cain, sin is crouching right there at your door. In other words, what you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to give in to the enemy. Everything he presents to you, learn how to resist the devil. He will flee from you.
Yes.
He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. How plain can that be? Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Amen. So what we're talking about is we're talking about a house divided. And if a house divided or a kingdom is divided, it comes to desolation. But how does it come to desolation? It's not just divided physically. It's divided mentally. And that's what we're talking about. Imagine this. Imagine how our military would be if all our soldiers and all our generals, all our colonels and our captains was double-minded. they couldn't come together in anything.
Being confused.
Could you imagine them going out on the battlefield and they fussing over the tactics of attack? They divided over how they're going to attack the enemy. We got all these special forces. We got all this equipment. And they get out there on the battlefield, and they start arguing with each other. How many battles do you think they would win?
None.
They wouldn't win too many because the enemy would see them arguing with each other and drop a bomb on them. That's why it's important to be united.
And this is not what we're saying, that you have to agree with everything, you know. You have your own, you can disagree agreeably. Okay? Because, like I say, I'm like the Bereans. I'm going to check out what you're saying. I'm not going to take everything. And you need to check us out. If we say something contrary to the scriptures, by all means, check me out. I have no problem with that because I don't know everything. You got some people running around and you can't tell them nothing. That's why their house is a shipwreck. You don't want to know nothing. You don't want nobody to tell you nothing. And this is what we're saying. Check it out. If it quack like a duck, possibly it may be a duck. Check it out. Check out the news. Check out some of that them lies they be telling you to poison your mind. Check out some stuff. Don't just take everything people say. Because Paul said, he say, follow me as I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get out of Christ, then you don't need to be following me.
Amen. One thing I would like to bring on, and I'm thankful that Evangelist Montgomery brought that out about Apostle Paul. And one thing I want to bring out also is that, as Jesus just said, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if you notice, when you go back to the Bible and you read about Peter, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were all preaching and teaching basically the same thing. And what was that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. They were together. And all and even the people that were working with the apostles, they taught that same doctrine. They were united. And everything they said and everything they did, what did it do? It pointed back to Christ. They didn't even take credit for themselves. When the people started to try to worship them and make them out to be something greater than what they were, they put it down. They said, get up. I'm a man just like you.
Amen.
I'm a man just like you. Peter, Paul, all of them. When they got to that idolatry, they cut it down. They cut it down. They were united. They were united. They were united. Let me bring you something. Let me bring something to your attention right here. I'm coming out of the word. I'm coming out of a word right here that says, of all which, nothing is hid from you. If you have perfect faith and charity in Christ Jesus, which are the beginning and end of life. You see how it goes back to Jesus? You see? If you have perfect faith and charity and love in Christ Jesus, charity will equate to love in Christ Jesus, which are the beginning and end of life, Christ Jesus, which are the beginning and end of life. For the beginning is faith, the end is charity or love, and these two joined together are of God. But all other things which concern a holy life are the consequences of these. Are the consequences of what? Of faith and love. All right? No man professing a true faith sinneth. Neither does he who has charity hate any. Let me read this again. No man professing a true faith sinneth. When you say sinneth, what does he mean? He means you're a sinner. You have no desire
practice
to live right.
Practice.
It's a practice. It's what you live to do.
Daily lifestyle.
It's a daily lifestyle.
Amen.
Of sin. See, neither does he who has charity, who has love, hate any. That's plain. The tree is made manifest by its fruit. So they who profess themselves to be Christians are known by what they do. For Christianity is not the work of an outward profession, but shows itself in the power of faith. If a man be found faithful unto the end, it is better for a man to hold his peace and be than to say he is a Christian and not to be. So you see, if a believer says he's a believer, then when another person look at another believer, there should be some commonality. There should be some togetherness. They should be united in their thought patterns and in their life. It shouldn't be based on what you call yourself. It shouldn't be based on whether you are Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Lutheran or whatever you want to make up. It shouldn't be based on that. Your unity should be in your life. It should be in your speech. It should be in how you act. I'll read it again. For Christianity is not the work of an outward profession, but shows itself in the power of faith. If a man be found faithful unto the end, it is better for a man to hold his peace and be than to say he is a Christian and not to be. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They say the Christian is known by what they do, not by what they say, or not by what they call themselves, but by their actions. And those actions should be an example of Jesus Christ. If we are united in Christ, then we should be like Christ. Therefore, we are called Christians. And some people have a problem with that being called Christians. They don't want to be called Christians.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, a lot of times it's because of representation of Christ has been, perverted. It has been somewhat tainted. So a lot of people don't see real believers. They don't see real Christians. Now, there are real believers and there are real Christians, and they're dying for their faith.
Being
tormented for their belief in Christ Jesus.
Well, westernized Christianity, it's kind of like a joke, okay? I mean, we call ourselves Christian, and I was just reading it. I know people say, well, bishop, what is a bishop? A bishop really just is a person who is appointed to oversee the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mature man, respectable, husband of one wife, not one wife at a time, sober, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. That's all a bishop means.
Mm-hmm.
It don't mean taking these titles and pumping yourself up to be some evangelist. That just means teaching the word,
mm-hmm.
putting it out there. We had evangelists in the Bible. That's what we do. It's not to take these titles and puff yourself up. Paul, they didn't do it. They said, get up, don't worship us. We're mere men just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to read this. I know we're getting close to time to close it out, but Galatians 1, 8 through 9, it says, but though we are, this is what they were saying, the Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel
mm-hmm.
unto you, that which have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed.
That's right.
So our job as evangelists and bishops and apostles and prophets and it should be teaching the same thing.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, him crucified.
Yes.
Now,
salvation.
Like I said, people going to decipher the scriptures the way they, but the gist, the foundation should all be, we should all have that common denominator, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because you can be in the same, you can read a scripture and get, that's why we got so many different denominations. Somebody read a scripture and they said, well, I think it mean this, so I'm going to form my own denomination. And you got hundreds of thousands of different denominations. Really, religion is just one man's opinion.
Mm.
He thought of a religion, so he said, I think it's okay to have me 560 wives. Who is that, Mormons?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's his religion. Men can make a religion. You got these snake handlers. They feel that you, the Bible says tread upon serpents, and they take it literally and have rattlers dancing around, you know, up in these mountains. And some of them been bit by the rattlers. That's not what the Bible say, but it was that interpretation that they got out the Bible. But this is why Paul say, if they come teaching any other doctrine, then we ourselves lay.
Mm-hmm.
This is the creed of the Apostles'
mm-hmm.
Creed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be together. We need to come together. Like I say, you're going to have your own opinions,
mm-hmm.
but the common denominator should be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him crucified. Amen?
Amen. And that's about it. I'm going to bring out one thing in relevance to this because, as I said before, okay.
Amen, we've got about 9 minutes.
As I said before, the church didn't, I'll say the body of Christ, did not start off like this. They all were united, and the scripture says that to say they were all together in one place. They shared their goods one among the other, and they said they had no lack because they gave to each other. They were united in everything that they did. They were united in everything that they said. They were united in love. I mean, they did not care if you were whatever. If you came from Ethiopia, if you came from Rome and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you were a brother to them.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close it out with these verses right here, and that's it. Okay. I'm coming out of Acts 10, and we're familiar with that. But then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye see. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So right there, it went from the gospel being preached only to the Jews and Israelites, then God saw fit that it would be preached to the Gentiles, the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. So why am I saying that? There was no division. When he went to Cornelius' house, Peter recognized them as believers in Christ Jesus. They were accepted into the church, and they didn't look at them as, well, they Romans. They just Gentiles, so, you know, we don't have to treat them the way we treat other brothers and sisters in Christ. No. They put an end to that right now. There was no separation. There was no separation in the early church. So where is it now? Why do we have this now? It's an invention of men that were fed to them by the enemy to divide the body of Christ. Now, people of the Most High God, we have to come back together. We have to come back together and do away with all this foolishness, because that's what it is, and start preaching and teaching the same thing which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, resurrected on the third day, and now is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And then He didn't stop there. He sent the Holy Ghost to be a helper and guide for us back to Christ Jesus and God.
But this is the thing. How are you going to teach that and you yourself bound up?
Well, that's where salvation comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in.
And this is all we're saying. You first get yourself cleaned up before you go and try to minister to somebody else.
Amen.
Because people is watching your life. We had a guy, he don't profess to be a Christian. I believe he's an atheist. But he was selling one of our real estate properties, and the lady that we were renting the house, she tore the house up, basically. But she called herself a Christian. She had Jesus scriptures all over the wall on my house. And he said, I know you and Bobby. He said, I know enough to know what Christian's supposed to look like. He said, but I don't think she's a Christian. Now, he don't profess to be a Christian. But like I say, people watch your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I told you earlier about the bishop, the overseer. He has to be above reproach. Is it saying he's perfect? No. But the Bible says we need to have our lives unspotted from the world, because the world is looking at you. And the world, 9 times out of 10, can point out your faults better than you can. Just like the scribes and Pharisees, they was always trying to pin Jesus up with something, but he, knowing the wickedness of their heart, a lot of times he didn't even conversate with them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how the world look at us. And then they'll say, all y'all is hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
All of you so-called Christians, y'all hate each other. Y'all can't even get along together.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're talking about. So with that, I know it's about 9:56. We're going to close it out, the program. So, Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. We thank you for spending time in your word, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in the listening audience. Some we may not never see, but we are connected through your spirit.
Yes.
Lord God, and Lord God, we just ask that if there's anything in our heart that is is not like you, we ask that you purge us on tonight, Lord God. I repent, Lord God.
Yes,
I humble myself before you, Father God. And I ask that you take out anything in me that's not like you.
Amen.
Lord God, because I want to be a living, walking example of what you say a believer should look like.
Amen.
Lord God, you set the example, so I want to follow as such. Lord God, and I ask that you strengthen us. Strengthen me, strengthen my husband, that we will go forth in the things that you have called us to do. Lord God, be unified in our family, in our home, in our church, Lord God. We ask for your peace. We ask for our listening audience, if they are struggling with certain things, Lord God, we ask that you strengthen them.
Yes.
Give them strength, Father God.
Yes.
Let them cry out and let them ask for help. There's somebody out there that could reach out to them and help them, Lord God. Lord God, because we are all in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And Lord God, we love you. We love you, Lord God. We don't take anything you did lightly. And, Lord God, and I ask for repentance. If some days I murmur and complain, I ask you to forgive me,
yes.
Father God, because we know it's by you that we are here today.
Amen.
So, Lord God, in all things, we're going to give you the praise. We're going to give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, we love you, and we'll see you soon.
Amen. That's it.